Rubicon Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Yes.
Final arguments from some of the mayoral candidates. Susana Mendoza is here, five days away from the election.
It seems so close, and a lot of undecided folks still this close to the election. I don't know when we've
about
seen
about one
that.
In five, right, of people who've been polled are still sort of
that's
undecided.
What they're saying, yeah. We'll see. I mean, come on, let's go. The city's future's at stake. Don't well, be undecided. Vote for me, well, Susana Mendoza. I'll make it easy for everyone.
All right, so why? Why? What are you going to do?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm going to really focus on not just the next 4 years, but as I've been saying, on the next generation. For me, this election's all about the future of our city. Do we want it to stagnate or move backwards, worse yet, right? Or do we move forward? Chicago's the greatest city in the world. I mean, I get goosebumps thinking about the fact that I could get to lead it into the future. This is a city full of innovation, and the potential that we have is even greater, much greater than what we've done today. And look, we do have a lot of problems, right? We talk about this all the time. Mm-hmm. But all of those problems have solutions. What I think we have even more of is promise, right? Like Chicago. This is Chicago. I mean, how awesome of a city is this? But it has to be that way for everyone in the city. And there's a whole lot of people in different neighborhoods that don't feel that that promise is there for them. I intend to make it happen.
All right. So what? Give me a practical example of that. Let's go to a specific neighborhood that you see that the people have lost their hope or their will here, and you want to reinvigorate that. What neighborhood is it? What would you do?
Oh, my goodness. There's so many. We have 77, and about 10 neighborhoods are neighborhoods where people actually want to live, that they feel that the safety is there, that it's worth, you know, getting two or three roommates because that's what it's going to take for you to pay the rents in those specific neighborhoods. And those neighborhoods are actually neighborhoods. They have things like entertainment venues. They have restaurants in every corner or multiple restaurants on every street. They have good public schools. But Ro and Anna, honestly, you're talking about a handful of neighborhoods that fit that requirement. And most of the rest of the city, you drive and there's vacant lot after vacant lot. There might be people who live in these neighborhoods, but that's, you know, the four walls that surround them are essentially what they have. There's no grocery store to go to, whether you drive to it or ride your bike or walk to it. There's transportation deserts, you know, where people you know, have to walk a mile almost to get onto an L stop. They're completely disconnected from the city, and that's the vast majority of the west and the south side of the city. And it was by design, which is the worst part, right? These things didn't happen accidentally. So from my perspective, when I think about this city, I want to connect it all. I have an incredible transportation plan that I've put forth as part of my Future Now plan. We have a vision for connecting the whole city through transportation, and of course it's going to cost money, but it has to be done.
Where are we going to get the money?
So from a capital plan with the state, we haven't seen one since George Ryan. You remember that? That was like, I want to say, maybe 1999 or 2000, the last time we had a real capital plan that put people to work, that brought infrastructure improvements and like significant stuff. Since then, we never had one with Blagojevich, and then we started to have one with Pat Quinn, but it was towards the end of his term, and then when Governor Rauner took office, all those programs that they broke shovel on, you know, broke ground on, as I could say. They probably did break a few shovels, but anyway, the point is, they just stopped dead in their tracks. And so now we're having to actually fix stuff that's going to cost us more money because we started these projects and then didn't finish them. So look, we need a capital plan. Yesterday, I came back from Springfield late last night, and I was pleased to see that Governor Pritzker is really committed to championing an infrastructure plan, a capital plan. And part of that is going to be whoever the next mayor is, if it's me, is going to be to champion transportation projects as part of that capital plan.
So what would you do? Would you add to the rail lines?
I think we absolutely need to. Look, if you're on the south side, there's about 30 blocks or so that aren't covered by the red line, right? So the city of Chicago, if you're driving through it, you know, it's whatever you're driving through. But if you're up in a plane and you look down at the city of Chicago, you could see where the city technically ends for actual people because there's no more public transportation going down 130th Street. Mm-hmm. So it's 95th and that's it's nothing moving right further south.
Just that's, bus lines at feet.
Yeah, that's not okay. And then on top of that, we don't even have dedicated bus lanes. You know how many dedicated bus lanes we have in the city of Chicago? Do you guys know?
No.
Four. Compare that with 83 in New York City. Now, New York City may be three times our size, but that would mean 12. I know math. 4 times 3 equals 12. It's 83.
Very well done.
Like, you know, Miami has like 50. Miami, the size of Miami, 50 dedicated bus lanes. But we can't do these things because we have aldermanic prerogative. And if you want a bus to have a dedicated lane that goes all the way through Ashland, you have to go through a whole bunch of different wards. And if the aldermen don't want it, it doesn't happen. So, like, you know, Burnham's plan of having this city, you know, this bold, you know, make no small plan city, is cut short by things like aldermanic prerogative, which stop the city from connecting and working the way it's supposed to. And those are things I want to change as mayor.
You've said that Illinois' political culture is broken, and I think a lot of people would agree with that. They're sick of the patronage, the cronyism, all of that stuff, the corruption. And now we have this federal probe that's really shining a dark light on some of the most powerful people in
this. A bright light. A dark spot.
A dark,
yes.
Exactly. That's in sort of a sinister way, I meant, because it feels like, gosh, this web of folks that are under a lot of scrutiny right now. And you've given all campaign contributions back from all of these folks and that kind of thing. And I think the future for this new mayor, this is a moment in time when people have high expectations in
yes.
that regard.
Well, good. Look, no one sets higher expectations for me than myself. I mean, I'm always competing against myself. Like in any job I've ever had, I don't care how good of a job you think I need to do, I expect even more from myself. So it's why I can't sit still for more than 5 minutes. You know, like I feel like the time that I have representing people in whatever position it is that they've given me the responsibility to do, I want to put it to best use. So for me, like the more difficult the challenge, the more excited I get about it, right? And can you imagine being the mayor who really brings forth some significant changes when it comes to cleaning up the corruption in this city? And I intend to do that. I mean, the plan that I've put forth is rock solid. I mean, it's the best, or I would say it's the best, and I'm not the only one who's saying it's the
best.
Term
limits, what are some of the things you're saying?
Term limits, no dual employment.
You can't work anywhere else if you're working as an alderman.
Yes, I mean, they make like almost $130,000 a year. I think most people would be pleased to have that and do that full time. No jobs for the family members of elected officials at the Shackman exempt level. I mean, those should be jobs that go to the most qualified, competent people. And I have a hard time believing that we can't fill those positions with people that aren't related to the people who are running government. The other thing is, no family members of politicians should be able to benefit off of city contracts. I'll give you an example. I mean, I know Bill Daley gets upset that I talk about this, but, you know, his nephew, to be exact, the nephew made $9 million off of losing taxpayers $54 million in bad pension investments. Like, that's not okay, but it happened all the time under the Daleys. And, you know, today there was a story, was it today or yesterday, about Toni Preckwinkle and her son working for one of the big donors who received millions of dollars in TIF funds and the forest preserve. This stuff has to stop. It's the way of the past, and nobody's family should be benefiting because you have a government job. And so there's so many things that we cover in my plan. And one of the other things that I'm going to add to my plan, because every day there's something new that you're like, what? How does this happen? Is not allowing mayors to extend, outgoing mayors to extend the contracts of the agency directors long into the term of the next mayor. I mean, the fact that Mayor Emanuel just signed all these 2-, 3-, 4-year contracts with the people that, you know, are working for him today, if he wanted them to stay, then he should have run for mayor, right? But at the end of the day, whoever the next mayor is, they can't have their hands tied by, you know, taking care of people that are employed today. I mean, the next mayor has to set the vision for what they want the city to do and the direction that the city's going to go, which will likely be a different direction. Maybe in some areas, you know, you keep going down this course. I think we've made some good improvements to education, but we have to do a lot more, whether it's police or education or the park districts or whatever. The next mayor is going to be chosen by the people, and we don't need to have a shadow mayor. So look, if you want a transition and a smooth transition,
what are you going to do with that, though?
The first thing I'm going to do is look if I can legally take those back, right? Because I think it's just absurd. That I think it's a real abuse of taxpayer dollars to saddle the next mayor with almost $1 million worth of penalties or golden parachutes. Let's be specific here. Golden parachutes, if you want to make a change in your administration, which is a completely legitimate thing that all mayors do.
So you would move on that immediately?
I would move on that immediately.
Can we talk about the story of the day here in Chicago? It's actually a story of the day in the nation about Jesse Smollett and the police superintendent's reaction this morning to that. Your thoughts on
specifically
it was very impassioned. He stood up for the city of Chicago. He stood up for the Chicago Police Department in a way.
He was offended personally.
Right. In a way that we have rarely ever seen a police superintendent, any police superintendent, be so specific about his personal anger about something.
Sure.
I mean, it's really something. So I guess this goes to the question of, you know, where are you on the issue of the police superintendent?
Well, number one, I don't think it's responsible at all to make decisions about personnel before you're even elected to office. What I would say about the superintendent is that I do think it's also irresponsible to say, while you're running for office, that you'd fire the guy right away, right? I mean, I've said on the record that there's one position that we at least have to, the minute you take office, what day is that? It's May 20th, right? It's essentially, you're right in the beginning of what is normally the deadliest period of our year. Mm-hmm. You're going into the end of the school year, the beginning of a long summer.
It's the beginning of the killing season,
which
as
is,
they call it.
It's horrible, but you know this,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So the reality of it is that the next mayor, the last thing you need is to upset the apple cart when it comes to transitioning into a new administration. And I think it's going to be important to have some stability there going into that May and June and July. Now, I would suggest that anyone who wants to keep their job should reapply. But we should open it up to the best and the brightest. And whoever that is, at the end of the day, is going to have to be a superintendent that shares my vision of how I want to transform the police department, and how I want to make sure that the police department, you know, builds up their morale again and is able to do their job with better training and resourcing, and that the trust that needs to be rebuilt between the community and the police, that we can start to make some real inroads in that. And it requires somewhat of a culture and a mental shift, right? So, look, I mean, I have family in the police force. The men and women of the police department, you know, every day they put their uniform on and they literally go into some of the most dangerous situations, risking their lives for people they've never even met. We owe them a debt of gratitude and we have to respect that. At the same time, though, you also can't expect a 12,000 men and women in uniform to essentially have a few weeks of training in the police academy, put on the uniform, give them the sign of the cross, and throw them into some of the toughest neighborhoods with little to no training. And throughout the duration of their career, they get little to no future training.
Right.
So these are real things that we have to fix. But, you know, this issue today, it's one of those things that you think, like, I totally understand how people can feel so offended, but also the realization that people who are victims of hate crimes mm-hmm. have a hard enough time coming forward.
Absolutely.
And being believed. And then, you know, something like this happens and it shakes people to the core. And I don't know that it makes it any easier. You know, yeah. It sets it all back. Yeah.
No question. All right. Mm-hmm. Susana Mendoza would like to be your next mayor. And what is your website?
SusanaMendoza.com. It's spelled like Susan with an A at the end. S-U-S-A-N-A Mendoza. MENDOZA.com.
Okay.
Yeah, check out my Future Now plan. Seriously, but we only have a few more days. 5 more days. I need your votes. No one decided. The city's future is at stake. You can, you know, move backwards or focus on the future. And if you're a future person and a big thinker, that's me.
All right. Susana Mendoza.
Thanks, Susana.
Thanks so much.
All right. Let's check now with Kim Gordon. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Ro, there's a new push to get guns out of the hands of criminals.